complete hopelessness. Why even pretend? And will be forced to abandon even the most basic pacifying luxuries. They will be forced to confront the ills of the world head on with nowhere to hide, and still they will factionalize and fight each other over nothing. May we all be innocent again someday. You've never oppressed anyone. Somewhere out there, racists are marching for extermination, but not you. You've never done that. You would never do that. You can't imagine anyone does that. Incomprehensible. You're not racist, but these reports are probably exaggerated to sell more newspapers. It's a dying industry. In your experience, whenever there are two strong opinions, the truth is usually somewhere in the middle. What do the Nazis have to say? See? They say they're not racist. It's all just one big misunderstanding, you're sure. It's no big deal. Just tales of insecurity. Hi, welcome to Tales of Insecurity, postmodern existential horror for your daily commute. Are you stuck in traffic now? I'm glad I can keep you company in these dark times. You have to stay awake, even though you're not doing anything. You have to concentrate on the road. If you allow more than a car's length in front of you, someone will fill that gap and you won't get to move, nor will the miles of cars behind you. They will be trapped on this stretch of highway forever, and it will be all your fault. None of them will ever see their families again, just your taillights, so stay focused. Do you even remember where you were going? Is it morning or is it evening? Which way is east or west? Which way does the sun rise or set? Does the earth spin clockwise or counterclockwise? It must be clockwise, right? That's how sundials work. That's why clocks work. So the sun must rise from the left side, which is east. But then it seems the left should have more positive associations than right. Sunrise is birth and sunset is death. So the sun rises in the east. Left-handed people should be the norm, and right-handedness should be scary and weird from that medieval perspective where all our superstitions come from. So it must be west. You could just look this stuff up on your phone, but you're driving, and whatever we came up with must be right. We figured it out with logic, which is more reliable than Wikipedia, as long as we didn't make any mistakes. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Leah Lindsay Chen. I think about things too much, but I looked it up for us. It rises in the east and sets in the west, which means that the west is right and the east is left, which means south is up and north is down, so you've been holding the map wrong side up this whole time. The printers messed it up too, and also everyone was wrong about everything forever. Who made these decisions? Why weren't we consulted? Who voted for this? It's fun to take the alternate perspective sometimes. Just let me play the devil's advocate here. What if your immortal soul isn't as important as making your friends second-guess their perspective on diversity? Let me play the devil's advocate here. What if your researched and well-developed opinions aren't as nuanced as my immediate knee-jerk reaction? Let me play the devil's advocate here. What if might makes right? I think I know how to prove it does. So, America. That's where I live. It has this thing called the Bill of Rights. Mostly, this document places limits on the things the government can do to its citizenry. The First Amendment says the government can't make laws about religion or take away your ability to protest. The Third says they can't make you host soldiers in your house unless you want to, or unless there's a war going on. 4 through 8 are largely about law enforcement and court proceedings, and 9 and 10 are meta-amendments about making new rules. Most of these are fine. The Second Amendment is the one that we keep getting tripped up on over here. The idea of it is that the government can't make you give up your weaponry just in case you need to overthrow the government sometime. I'll go ahead and read it to you. It's very short.
A well-regulated militia, being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
It's an if-then statement. If a militia is required for civil liberty, people should have access to guns. It doesn't have anything to do with protecting your home from intruders or target shooting with your buds. If you need to sing on key, you should have access to auto-tune. It's like that. Captain Crunch, being necessary for the security of a balanced breakfast, the right of the people to experience a rush of flavor with several essential vitamins shall not be infringed. Anyway, there's an inherent victimhood in the rhetoric that comes from Second Amendment advocates. Guns keep us safe from government. Not that anyone's planning on fighting the U.S. military anytime soon, but as soon as they take that one right away, they can take away the rest without any fear of resistance. Once you outlaw guns, only the outlaws will have guns. Personally, I'm a little less afraid of outlaws with guns than I am of people in charge. Worse, people in charge with guns who think they have some kind of crusade or moral imperative. If you're able to be a part of the ruling class and also think of yourself as an oppressed minority, there's not going to be much negotiating with you. You don't understand desperation, but you think you do. You don't understand what it is like to be fundamentally rejected by society. You don't understand depression.
How can depression be debilitating? I had depression once, but I got over it using sheer willpower.
If you have willpower, you don't have depression. You wear sad. You hate being told you don't understand things, but you also feel no need to learn.
No one helped me when I lost my job. Everything I've ever gotten, I earned on my own.
You don't understand isolation. You don't understand what it means to be denied a platform. You don't understand what it means to be misunderstood, not even the fundamental way that none of us ever knows each other.
You liberals are so fragile, so sensitive, no backbone.
I'm not a liberal. Liberal means compromising with terrorists. My backbone, however, weak as it is mine. I am not using any cultural baggage as an exoskeleton.
That's pretty big talk. Why don't you try arguing with a real person and not some cheap caricature who just says whatever you already have an answer for? Are you afraid to engage in real debate?
Yes, I am. Not because you're right, because it won't do anything. I'm not going to change your mind. All a debate would do is reinforce for you the version of me that you have imaginary debates with. And simply put, if you own a gun in America and you're white, you are a racist. End of story.
I'll have you know, I have all kinds of black friends. They even let me use the N-word sometimes. That's respect is what that is.
Wow, that argument really put me in my place. You really are arguing from the moral high ground.
Absolutely. Now get off my property, you fucking weirdo.
You can call me Tranny if you like. We're cool like that.
Thanks. I hate having any limitations on my free speech.
So the First Amendment only protects you from government censure. It doesn't mean anyone has to listen to you.
Bet you wish it did, though. Bet you wish people had to listen to you.
It'd be nice if I felt like someone could hear me. I don't want to compel anyone's behavior, though. I just wish I could reach the people for whom my voice would make sense.
Sounds like an echo chamber to me. You just want to talk to the people who already agree with you. What's the point of that?
You only think that because you belong to a culture already. You can't even escape validation.
You just love playing the victim card, don't you?
The precious victim card. The one advantage held by members of oppressed groups. But how effective is it? Today's topic is about the way people who aren't used to being left out deal with potential threats to their hegemony.
Bullshit, elitist, $40 meaningless know-nothing words. Just fucking say what you mean.
Ain't no way I'm elitist. I ain't no upper crust. I ain't even stuffed crust. That's too fancy. What do you want on your tombstone? Anything's fine with me. I'm not particular. I'm just a mealy-mouth, overladen maiden stumbling over mumbles of mild-mannered tales of insecurity. Is what I am.
Here in outer space, you can spread your wings. You can fight for truth and kill for peace. Here in outer space, there's no god or kings. There's no order but the rocket bees. They're a cosmic force, and they know their place. It is right here at the very top. They fight for the glory of the Hopi race, and they just might never stop.
Pollock does the buzzing and Rothko waits in honey. DeKooning makes ballistics and Kaler does the gunning. They're here to fight for justice and they do it really well. If you try to stand against them, have a lovely day in hell. They'll gouge your eyes with stingers, grind your bones into a paste. You'll soon regret your pointless life, useless sack of waste. Don't try to resist, I really must insist, or else you'll find your face as an impression of a fist.
They're a cosmic force and they're super strong. They destroy you with an angry glance. They're strong and they're proud and their guns are loud. They communicate their rage and dance.
somewhere in the Epsilon Sector, in orbit around the blood moon of Carcass, Dr. Scalaris compiles what could be a breakthrough in her plot of galactic conquest.
Yes, yes, I think I've done it.
What have you done, Doctor?
As you can see, the subjects who in this last experiment were given the latest concentration of my serum saw their performance increase nearly tenfold.
Yes, yes, of course, Dr. Scalaris, but what does it mean?
It means we're finally on the right track. We're getting somewhere.
That's fantastic news.
With the added vitality provided by the serum, we should be able to take back what's rightfully ours.
That's such a relief. We should celebrate.
It's too soon to relax, my enthusiastic colleague. Science doesn't happen all at once. We have to repeat this experiment enough times and with a large enough sample size that we can be certain the results were not a fluke.
Of course we're not done. But come on, Doctor, you've definitely earned a break.
All right. One drink.
But their nefarious celebration is cut short by the Rocket Bees!
Oh no.
Hey, nice research, shit muncher. You do it yourself or did you download it from somewhere?
Wow, you really earned your PhD, didn't you?
Whatever.
Kapow! Take that!
Please, I'm begging you. Don't make too much of a mess.
Gee, I don't know. Did that sound like begging to you, de Kooning?
No, Kayla. It didn't. It sounded like a threat.
Somebody's getting a little big for her panties, isn't she?
Ow, that really hurt.
Oh, did it? Hey, Roscoe, she says that hurt.
Oh no, that's too bad. How about this one?
Damn you, Rocket Bees!
Whoa-ho! Damn us! Did you hear that, Pollock? Sounded like she said damn us. Pretty mean.
That hurt my feelings.
Can you all just leave us alone?
Hey, whoa! Who's your little friend there, Doctor?
Please, just leave him out of this. He's just a drone.
So you don't mind if we rough him up a little?
Please, you don't have to do this.
Whoa there. Did you hear that, de Kooning?
Hear what? We don't have to do this. Oh, all right, that's funny. You do know that we've been commissioned by the Intergalactic Peace Agency to maintain absolute celestial harmony. You think we want to be here? You think we like doing this to you?
Kabang!
You think we're some kind of weirdos, like we get off on teaching you scavengers a lesson? You're lucky you're important for the ecosystem, or else we'd just wipe you out entirely. If it was up to us, we'd do a little more than swat you around a little.
You fuckers need some extermination.
Damn right, Rothko. Damn right.
But not today. Not today.
Thank you.
You hear that, Kalo? We broke her spirit. Righteous.
Listen, you. You don't give up hope until we tell you to, you hear me?
Yes.
Great, well, job all done, girls. Let's get out of here before we catch something.
Bye.
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 Are they gone?
I think so. I hope so.
How much damage did they do?
Enough. But I think we can salvage some of it.
Oh, Dr. Scalaria, they're firing at us.
What? Why would they do that?
Direct hit! Our equilibrium thruster is damaged.
Can we fix it?
Seems unlikely.
So we're just going to keep spinning?
I'm sorry, Doctor.
We were on the verge of a breakthrough.
I know.
I should have sent my serum back home as soon as I was even halfway sure about it.
You did everything you could.
Do our communications still work?
Yes, Doctor.
Then put me through to Mission Control. I should report what happened.
Right away.
Scalaria, is that you? You look like hell.
Sorry, we had a setback today.
Well, no worries. I was just about to call you, actually. We're calling off the mission.
Oh, really? Did someone find a cure? It wasn't Dr. Garamidas, was it?
No, we're all still dying down here, but we signed a treaty.
Oh, yeah?
We are on the verge of economic collapse, you know, what with the plague and the blight that are ripping apart the foundations of our society from the seams.
Yes, of course.
But the bees promised to rebuild our infrastructure, and as long as we adopt their systems and provide unskilled labor for their manufacturing and service industries. And all of our non-essential research has to stop.
But my research is essential.
I'm sorry, Dr. Scalaria, but my hands are tied.
And my wings are clipped, stripped from my body, and now you're saying we work for them?
You are to surrender your ship to us immediately.
We can't. The ship's broken.
Then you will no longer receive support or supplies from our end. You're on your own now. I know it's not the answer you wanted to hear, but that's all I got.
This is unacceptable.
Also, you will be labeled an enemy of the state, and if you make any attempt to land on our soil again, you will be primed for extermination.
Fine. I'll figure something out. I'm a scientist.
You are not to figure anything out, and as of now, you are no longer a scientist. Armed guards are on their way now to escort you out of the galaxy.
Why don't they just bring me back to our planet? We could avoid all of this.
Because you destroyed government property. Mission control out.
What are we going to do, Dr. Scalaria?
How much serum do we have left?
Just whatever's on the floor.
See what you can pull together? Salvage as much as you can. It's our only hope.
Sure, but what are you going to do?
If I add this catalyst, the serum will not only restore vitality, it will increase our strength to superhuman levels. We will have the proportional strength of an ant.
All right. They won't know what hit them.
We won't go down without a fight.
It looks like the rocket bees are on their way. They're nearly here.
Hurry, get me that serum.
Yes, yes. Is this enough?
It'll do. Just need to put it in here, and inject it here, and yes, yes!
Hey, did you miss us?
Sorry to drop in again, but we hey, don't have any social cachet anymore.
We're here to pick up the pieces of your broken life.
And absolutely crush them.
This is your last chance to back away. Leave me alone, or you will all be destroyed.
Ooh, big scary fly.
Are you going to hurt us? Are you going to kiss us to death? You don't even have wings, Shifter Brains. Wait, what's happening? She's growing.
Oh, damn. She's a monster.
Oh, wow, and now she's super strong, too.
Got it. She's down.
Whew, that was a close one. I thought we were in for a real battle there. Not to worry, the good guys always win.
I'm a little freaked out now.
Don't worry, Rothko. Let's go get a drink.
We definitely earned it today. Goddamn vermin is what they are.
Yahoo!
Dr. Scalaris, are you all right? Doctor, can you hear me? I'm sorry, I wanted to help, but I got scared. Doctor, can you hear me? Doctor!
And so the rocket bees travel off into the solar system again, having defeated one more time the great forces of evil that threaten our landscape, wherever it may be. Onward, rocket bees, you are our heroes once again. Thank you so much for all you do.
Welcome back to Tales of Insecurity. If it wasn't clear, the bees represented police, America, colonialism, and so forth. I don't know why I feel a need to explain it. It seemed pretty obvious. Maybe too obvious? I want to make sure that it seemed like it meant something more, I guess. All right, so this is the listener mail section. I'm not going to bother reading the messages to you. I can't read them again. I can summarize. First message, call your mother. I can't tell you why you should call your mother, but you should definitely call her. Please call her. Sorry, I can't tell you what it's about. I just can't do that. Sorry, I can't call my mother either if you can't tell me what's going on. It's a lot easier for me to worry about the worst case scenarios than to endure either the overt transmisia I would get by calling my family or worse, the misguided acceptance full of little concessions I have to preserve
what little stability I have left. So yes, the worst case scenario, I suppose my mother probably has cancer again, and maybe her organs are just dissolved in a big puddle. Maybe my brother fell off a building. Maybe my dad started drinking again now that he hangs out with all the alcoholics all the time. Oh, okay, good. Now here's a message from my mother. Okay, great. It's just a cancer, stage 4. Hop, hop, donut lifts, and her bones are brittle like crackers. What a relief. Could have been worse. Glad it was bones and not organs, maybe. Thank you for the message. It's really helpful. But it'd be better if I could call, I know, and I wish I could, but I can't. Oh, well, not until I feel safe. Am I horrible and selfish? Not conceding to my family's horrible, cowardly selfishness, too. My mother seems to think so. The first communication we've had since last year, she reveals all the way her body is falling apart. That mine will, too, if by some fluke I live long enough. And all I can reply is, I'm so sorry to hear that, but please don't talk to me about gender. Please, have a little mercy. I'm suffering here. I just found out my mother has stage 4 breast cancer. Stage 4! Fight! And now she's trying to call me her son. Gross, but oh, she's understanding, too. A little anecdote about when they tell church people about me, they're not surprised. I always knew there was something wrong with that boy. See, I expect you better than anyone I know.
Father is upset that you don't try to reach out to him. Your father wants to meet you halfway. The least you could do is meet him 95% of the way. Compromise. Let him call to question your entire personality and place zero value on your knowledge or experience, and certainly not your feelings. And just feel nothing when you talk to him. It's what I've always done. How indulgent of you to fall into an emotional turmoil any time you think about him. The least you could do is accept the part when I tell you I accept you and ignore the litany of things I say that show the exact opposite. I'm suffering. I am in so much pain. Let me call you male. Let me call you my son. Can't you at least do that much? I mean, maybe you like Lisa Frank, but you never seem girly to me. Although I guess you're girlier than I was. It's not like there was any social pressure to conform to a cisgender persona, especially not in East Tennessee. Sarcasm is really unappealing. Why can't you just say what you mean? Do you really think it's in good taste to reveal this personal health information on your admittedly limited but still public platform? This isn't even your mother's voice. What are you doing? What do you think you're doing? Do you feel all right about any of this? Airing your dirty laundry. Do you feel like you have any kind of moral high ground here? It definitely seems like you think you do, and I'm just wondering where you got that impression.
So I'm really mad at my mother's friend, most of all, for not just saying, your mother has cancer. 4 little words could have saved me so much worry. How hard would that have been? I am at capacity for worry. It is much easier for me to deal with cancer than the host of possibilities. Why would she wrap up this update in newspaper like some kind of horrible Christmas present? I'm mad at everything. I'm mad at everyone. Is that allowed? Can I do that? How dare you listen to me? Can't you tell this is personal? Since you're here, I'll tell you. I'm actually excited for my mother's cancer on some level. Now maybe my family can work through a little of their deeply baked in ableism and learn how to talk to a disabled person. I'm still so upset at how they stud my sweetie after she endured so much to try to meet them. They ignored or dismissed everything she said, like she wasn't speaking English, like she was born someplace more magical and exotic than Maryland.
What's that? You say you feel like people are staring at you, mouth agape everywhere you go around here just because you're non-white and in a wheelchair? Nah, you don't feel like that. Let me tell you, I went to Japan once and everyone was looking at me like I was from a foreign country.
I'm hoping this experience gives all of them some perspective, but I'm not holding my breath. I have asthma. I always feel like I'm on the brink of death now, always gasping and flapping about like a caught fish that no one's had the mercy to gut. I faint to maintain my equilibrium. Oh, and look at this. We have another message here from my sweetie's geneticist. It looks like my darling angel Snowflake has an extremely rare genetic mutation connected with muscle weakness and sudden heart failure. Woohoo! She could die at any second. We could all die at any second. How should we celebrate? Maybe we should fundamentally question each other's identities and pretend we know about things we've never thought about. Does that sound fun? I think it sounds like a hoot. My mother was just starting to live for the first time in her life. She was pursuing interests. She was finally starting to apply her gargantuan intelligence to some purpose, meaningful to herself. She had meaning. She wanted things. She felt active and spry. I worry she will return to the sad and defeated woman who raised me without affection or touch. I hope she knows those things now well enough that she can use them even in times of suffering. She was becoming a person and was punished in a way that seems familiar. Do you know what I'm talking about there, Daddy-O? Of course you don't. It's not something you've experienced. How could you possibly understand, except by listening to the things I am saying to you? You're disabled too, you know. You should know better. Maybe that's your biggest disability. I should be more sensitive to your inability to grasp these concepts. Anyway, let's celebrate. All of us could die at any moment. Isn't it nice that nothing lasts forever?
Morning, Star Child.
What's going on? Breakfast in bed? What did I do to deserve this?
It's your birthday, silly.
Happy sweet 16. Did you forget?
No. I'm just surprised is all. I really didn't expect all this.
This is the best time of your life. You have to savor it.
We're really proud of you, dear. You're a good kid.
Aw, thanks, Dad.
As kids go.
Darling.
Sorry.
I know you told us not to, but we're going to throw a party for you later.
We rented out the abandoned fairgrounds.
Oh, you too. You're the best parents ever.
No.
No, I mean it. I feel so lucky to have you two as my adopted parents.
And we're really glad we bought you.
And we love you just as much as though you were carrying our genetic material, giving us a shot at immortality, which was cruelly denied us by our own biology.
Thanks.
Yeah, don't mention it.
Please. Don't mention it.
There's one little hitch with the party. The weather might not cooperate.
Oh, is it going to rain?
It might be a little locusty.
Every 17 years, they say.
This is actually a rare event where the 17-year locust, the 7-year locust, and the 70-year locust are all out at the same time.
I see.
But don't worry, honey. We're going to make the best of it.
Just leave everything to us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. It's not every day a baby girl has a sweet 16.
So have you heard back from the caterers?
They say they can't do it.
Why not?
They say that everyone wants to be with their families. They gave us back our deposit at least.
Well, that's something. Do we at least have the cake?
Yeah, that's no problem. And you know our Amanda. She'll be grateful for whatever she has.
All the more reason why she deserves the best.
Do you want some of this breakfast?
Sure. Turn on the news.
Reports still linger about the president's misappropriation of funds, though some critics speculate that this scandal is merely a distraction from all the other scandals. Because aggressive drilling initiatives have poisoned the world's reserves of clean drinking water, the Oval Office is facing immense pressure from environmentalist groups.
Damn hippies.
Darling, did you forget to take out the trash again last night?
Oh god, it completely slipped my mind.
That's okay, it isn't the end of the world.
A cloud of poisonous gas has enveloped the Midwest, turning all who inhale its toxic fumes into shriveled husks of bone and sinew. One observer called the scene a quote-unquote living nightmare, the likes of which would sicken Lovecraft himself.
Like I care what's happening in the Midwest.
Slow news day, I guess.
The news media. I just hate it. They're so focused on ratings that they never get to anything anyone cares about.
Somehow, that's true.
And now, the weather.
Thanks, Thomas. Gonna be a heavy drought this weekend as the comet looming overhead has thrown off the tides and the polarity of the Earth, making water too heavy to accumulate into clouds. And since the global effort to destroy the comet with the combined arsenal of nuclear weapons from every capable country except the United States, heavy fallout has mixed with the comet's dust and debris, and it's expected that most vegetation on the surface of the Earth will soon wither and die, so better invest in suntan lotion. It's gonna be sunny for a while. And your favorite shade tree won't be much help. Back to you, Thomas.
Did we get lemonade, dear?
Yep, several pitchers worth.
Great, they're saying it's going to be hot today, so those kids are going to want some lemonade.
Yes, I heard.
Did we get the RSVPs? How many are we expecting?
Looks like about 20 people.
Oh, that's not enough. Our baby girl deserves everybody in the whole world.
Yes, exactly.
I guess it'll have to do.
How was your breakfast, sleepyhead?
Oh, great, thank you.
Is there anything you want to do today, now that you're all grown up?
No, really. I don't want to make too big a deal out of it. I had to be born sometime, right?
Oh, no, honey.
You don't know how special this is. You'll look back on today the rest of your life.
Should continue to function for at least several days. And here to discuss the next possible dominant species on the planet is biology expert David Attenborough.
Can we turn off the news? I've got a lot on my mind right now.
Sure, hun. Problems at school?
No, it's nothing. Don't worry about it.
Now, darling, you know we're here for you no matter what. There's nothing you can't tell us.
Okay, thank you.
So what is it?
Okay, well, you know Yvette, my lab partner? We were talking the other day, and she told me that maybe she likes me.
Oh. Well, how do you feel about that?
I don't know. She's nice and all, but I'm not sure how I feel. She's one of my best friends. I'm afraid that if I reject her, everything's going to get weird.
Oh, honey. I know that whatever you do, you'll do it with compassion and understanding. If Yvette really cares about you, she'll abide by whatever you choose for your own life.
Thanks, Mom.
Your dad and I are very proud of you.
Thank you.
Now, have a good day at school.
Thanks, Mom. You're the best.
So, our daughter's a lesbian now.
Oh, well.
Good thing she's not really ours, so there's not very much at stake.
She and her eventual wife can adopt, just like we did.
I guess so. Still, it seems a shame.
Oh well, we could always adopt again.
As many times as it takes, I guess.
You still want to do this party?
She did say it wasn't super important to her.
It is really hot.
Do you think she'll be disappointed?
No, I mean, the caterer's canceled. It's not our fault.
She's not gonna blame us. You know our Amanda, she's so patient, she doesn't expect anything.
The younger generation, they're so smart, so mature, so much more interested in things than we ever were.
It's really comforting to know the future's in their hands.
We did pretty good, right? We raised them, after all.
We did, didn't we?
I love you, honey.
And I love you.
Darling.
Mwah.
Welcome back to Tales of Insecurity. I'm Leah Lindichen. Congratulations, it's me, you found me. America's best-kept secret. You can hear my voice, and that's really special. I don't have any corporation behind me, or much of any support at all. I'm proud of this. I am shouting at God, who's hard of hearing, and somewhere else entirely.
What? Did you need something?
Oh, hi. Sorry to bother you. I know you're on a busy schedule.
Nah, not really. What's up?
Oh, well, I don't know. I've got a lot of questions.
Sure. Don't you all?
I don't know. I guess I don't feel very comfortable doing this bit. Not because it's blasphemous, of course, but because it's kind of hack. Ooh. Talking to God, real original.
Do you think calling attention to the obviousness of it is less obvious?
No, I'm sorry. I don't know where I'm going with this, really. I just, I feel kind of powerless, you know, and that's when you want to talk to God, is when you have absolutely nothing left. And I don't even have my mind. I accidentally let my insurance run out, and I couldn't get my Adderall, so I'm kind of having trouble making anything this week. It's much more of a struggle.
That's fine.
Thanks.
What do you want me to say? What do you expect me to do?
I don't know. What can you do?
Anything I want to.
So what do you want to do?
Not really anything.
Is that fair?
Nah.
So, my whole life is falling apart. Can you do anything about that?
Of course I could. Most of your problems could be solved in a second. All I'd have to do is get the right person to notice you, and then everything would take care of itself. Your mother would still be dying, but then you'd be able to talk to her again, and you could take care of your partner and break her and her twin free of the abusive influence of their family. You'd have a career. You'd have a role in society. You'd probably make the world a better place, I guess.
That's really nice of you to say. Do you really think I could make a difference?
Of course, with the right platform. Anyone could, really, but yes, I think you more than a lot of people, sure.
So, can you help me out?
Nah.
Why not?
It's really not how I do things.
All right.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sure.
I actually really like the authenticity of your whole deal. What if you got popular? I think it would be a disaster. Did you ever see Viva Variety?
The mid-90s Comedy Central variety show with Thomas Lennon, Carrie Kinney, and Michael Ian Black?
Yeah, that one. I really liked the first two seasons, but then the show went to Vegas, and I lost the whole low-budget vibe, and it really didn't work for me. It was only good when they could pretend to be obscure. Did you like the state? Because it was most of the same people. It was all right. Big Stella fan, though. For me, though, for sketch comedy, nothing really beats the Dana Carvey show. All right, great. See, like, my favorite thing is when people try to resist the powerful influences of their time and place, and despite their authenticity, talent, moral imperative, even previous fame and future fame, they still can't do anything. That's my favorite story. Just like how you, an all-powerful deity with perfect knowledge, still could not make a functional Earth, no matter how hard you try. Exactly. It's compelling, isn't it? I mean, I could make a functional Earth, but then it wouldn't be interesting, and I want the interest. The interest is what's important to me. I'm so bored by everything. It's really boring when you know everything, so you have to make something unpredictable, something bad, something not perfect. That's interesting. I like that. Well, obviously, I'm God. I do things well. Well, thank you for visiting my humble little show. Oh, of course. If I thought there was any chance someone would listen to it, I wouldn't do it, but this is pretty safe. I don't know how that's supposed to make me feel. I'm honored, but I'm also insulted. It's not supposed to do anything for you. Anyway, toodles. Oh, okay. Bye. Sure. All right, so, there is no hope at all. I think that's the main message here. You know, my father was a pastor. Every Sunday, he talked about the Bible for 20 minutes. Sometimes we claim to have conversations with God, and I like that I have mine on tape. On recording, on MP3, it's the outmoded language. I like saying on tape. I like that. Anyway, so my father, a few people would hear the words he said, though not many. He would usually just talk and people would sort of go into a half stupor. That's what people do. But he was pretty good at it. His sermons weren't that essential to the enterprise, really, but he was good at them, especially after years and years of making them. But most of the job is comforting the dying, the weak, the shut-ins, and now the addicts is his focus. You'd think that 30 years of that would make a person spiritually attuned. You'd think that after comforting so many people, you'd learn to process things. You'd be unfazed by mortality, anything to do with it. But I've met so many pastors. They're all empty husks. They've had the life drained out of them. They've never lived. They don't know who they are, and they don't really want to find out because it's not the answer they want. They're cowards, all cowards, who once felt called to follow a path, and it led them into the heart of darkness, and Mr. Kurtz, he dead. Anyway, looks like I'm giving sermons now. I didn't want to do it, but that means that I'm now a pastor, and I'm going to be an empty husk someday. And here's my truth about life and truth in the human spirit. Sorry, I didn't want to do this. This is a path to destruction, but at least it's mine, and it's good to know that it will never lead anywhere. I can't be too much to blame. So, our topic today is the victims in charge. See, nobody wants to be the oppressor. No one sees himself as a villain, especially the villains. Some of the heroes do. Some of them worry about the consequences of their actions, but not the ones who actually cause consequences. They find some way to justify themselves, and even further, to make themselves good and pure and right in some way. Wealthy autocrats are job creators. They make the economy run. Racist and sexist and other bigots somehow believe that they're doing something that makes the world better. And even more, that somehow the people they're determined to destroy are the powerful ones, the gatekeepers, the threshold guardians. It's really gross. I don't have a solution for it. Don't be terrible, I guess. You may have more power than you realize. I really need my Adderall. Do I have another thing here to move to? Oh, good, thanks. I can't focus on this anymore.
So is this your new apartment?
Yeah, I just moved in a few days ago.
It's nice, very spacious. I love the kitchen.
Yeah, isn't it great? And it's pretty cheap, too.
So what's wrong with it?
I don't really know. Nothing as far as I can tell. I just think it's rent control.
Is that how that works?
I don't really know. I just saw the place and They told me the price and I just jumped on it.
Let me know if you get bedbugs or something.
Knock, knock. Sorry to barge in. I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Oh, no, not at all. Natalie, this is Gladys. She's the landlady.
No. Don't call me the landlady. That sounds so hierarchical. Really, Harold and I just own the property and allow other people to live on it, whatever that makes us.
Oh, well, nice to meet you. I'm Natalie.
Yes, a pleasure. So you're Mia's lesbian lover?
Oh, well, we've been dating a few weeks.
I'm sorry, did I overstep my bounds? Forgive me. I just think you are all so adorable. I really wish the GBLT movement had been a little stronger when I was younger. Would have saved me a whole lot of trouble.
Oh, sure.
I just wanted to bring you all a little gift basket, all the things you need to make a good home. I think these are the things girls your age are into.
Thank you, Miss Ferris. I appreciate it.
Please, just Gladys.
Thank you, Gladys.
Yes, it was a pleasure to meet you.
All right, well, let me get out of your hair now. I'm sure you girls have other things you want to do than talk to an old lady like me.
Thank you, I really appreciate it.
Of course, dear. We feel lucky to have you.
Whew, she's a live one, isn't she?
I hope I have that much energy when I'm her age.
I hope I'm dead.
Natalie!
Just, I've never seen anyone so miserable.
Does she seem miserable to you?
Yes?
No. She's just being nice.
Sure. Sorry. Forget I said anything. What's in the basket?
Let's see. There's some kitchen supplies. A set of wooden spoons, a whisk, some towels, saran wrap.
Oh, that sounds useful. That's nice.
Also a vibrator, some dental dams, handcuffs. And I think this might be a butt plug? I'm not sure.
What? Let me see. Yeah, that's a butt plug.
Huh.
Kind of makes you wonder what the whisk is for.
A little.
Was it my imagination, or did she call it the GBLT movement?
She definitely did that.
I don't know about you, but I could sure go for a gay BLT right now.
Sounds good. There's a really good deli about a block away.
Oh, nice.
I think she meant well. Don't hold it against her.
So did you tell her you were gay or what? How did that all come about?
She asked if I had a boyfriend, and I told her no. Then she was all, how can such a beautiful thing like you not have all the boys she wants? So I told her about you.
Is she allowed to ask those questions?
It's not like a job interview.
Is it not?
So you don't like her, that's okay. I'm sure we won't have to interact with her if you don't want to.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Let's just drop it.
Great. So, do you want me to show you how the butt plug works?
Shh! We're in public!
You're such a baby.
I am not.
So are you coming to see my play?
How is that still happening?
Yeah, we have the theater reserved. It's this weekend. It's gonna be great.
It's just, you don't seem as invested in it as I'd expect.
This is my passion project. This is my whole life. You don't care at all, do you?
Oh, hello, Mia.
Oh, hi, Mr. Farrows.
So good to see you.
Yes, a pleasure. This is my girlfriend, Natalie.
And a pleasure to meet you as well.
Uh-huh.
She's a little stressed out. Long week at work.
Oh, what do you do?
Nothing.
She's a server and bartender, and she's also directing a play.
That doesn't sound like nothing. You sound very busy indeed.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not quite where I want to be in my life, you could say.
Well, stick with Mia. It sounds like she's got her act together.
All right, thank you.
Did Gladys give you our package?
Yes, she did.
Very good. You girls have a good time. I can tell I'm a little in the way.
No, not at all.
I should go.
If you need to.
Yeah, I should. We'll see you around.
Very good. So, how's your sandwich?
My play's going to be great.
I know. I'm sorry.
Do you want to talk about it, or would you rather talk to weird old men?
You know, you have to be nice.
No, you don't.
You do. It'll be easy to live there if they like me.
You're so spineless.
I'm not.
I know you grew up in an abusive family, so you don't see these things, but you're trying to get their approval, and it's gross.
Please, just drop it.
Okay, sorry. It's good.
What is?
My sandwich. It's a good Reuben.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it.
Sure.
Knock, knock! Dearie, are you home?
What? Yes, hi. I'm here.
Forgive me for intruding, but I just wanted to apologize about earlier.
What do you mean?
Oh, I was just thinking about it, and I know I made a bad impression on your little friend.
My girlfriend, yes.
Yes, your lesbian friend.
Don't worry about her. She's got kind of a chip on her shoulder.
Well, Harold tells me you two were having a little tiff earlier, and I just hope that we're not responsible.
No, no, no. It's nothing. Don't even worry.
Are you sure? Harold! She says it was nothing!
Really? She seemed pretty upset to me.
You should do something nice for her. Make her feel valued.
Do you think so?
Yeah, you know, she felt like you weren't taking her seriously.
Did you really get all that from just talking to us for a minute?
It seems obvious.
I mean, we haven't been together very long. We might not stay together. We may not be compatible.
Nonsense, dear. You're going to marry that girl. Mark my words. A woman knows these things.
I'm a woman, too, you know.
Yes, of course you are, dear.
Thank you for the advice, though. I do appreciate it.
You don't have to be so dismissive.
No, I'm not. No.
Please, you said enough.
I'm so sorry. I really didn't mean to sound like I wasn't interested in what you had to say.
And you'd never even thank us for the gift basket.
Oh yes, it was really thoughtful, thank you.
It doesn't mean anything now.
Just seemed awkward to talk about.
Please, I'm sure you girls haven't done anything we haven't done. No need to be embarrassed.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. We forgive you.
Thank you.
We should go.
But our door's always open if you need to talk about anything.
Thank you. That's very good to know.
All right. Well, take care of yourself, dear.
Thank you. You too.
I can't believe you missed my play.
What? Is it ever already?
Everyone missed my play.
I'm so sorry. You didn't tell me exactly when it was. I was all stressed out from work and things. I was probably just taking a bath.
I hope it was relaxing.
Yeah, it was all right.
You're like the most selfish person alive.
I'm so sorry.
Do you want me to yell at you? Is this your thing?
No, not at all. Stop it.
You're impossible.
Please, don't yell at me.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm upset. I worked hard on this and it all feels like it was for nothing.
That's rough. When's the next performance?
There's not a next performance. That was it.
Oh.
Would it matter? Would you remember? If I had 100 performances, would you come to any of them?
How many times do you want me to say I'm sorry?
Just once, if you meant it.
Hello? Natalie?
Is everything all right in there?
Yeah, everything's fine.
You don't have to lie to us, dear.
No, it's just... Natalie's really mad at me because I forgot about her play.
If it was really important to her, she wouldn't have let you forget.
Do you think so?
Of course.
She was probably hoping you wouldn't be there. She was probably ashamed of it.
I don't know.
We talked to your mother and she said the same thing.
You should really call her more. She's worried sick about you.
I don't know. She doesn't approve of my lifestyle.
Oh no, dear. We told her all about it. We taught her about bondage and all your little toys.
What?
And she understands everything now. It's all going to be fine.
Really?
Absolutely. I went ahead and enrolled you in a local community college so you can get a second degree in whatever you want.
Really? You did that for me?
Of course. If you're staying under our roof, we're going to take care of you.
As long as you're grateful.
Thank you. That's really generous.
And if it doesn't work out with you and Natalie, we have a few more prospects lined up for you.
Even more if you want to switch teams.
Gosh, I don't know what to say.
Just say thank you.
And I'm sorry.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Very good. Now kneel.
I'm so sorry.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Don't mention it.
I'm sorry.
Just don't let it happen again.
Hey, glad you got my message. Sorry that it took so long. You see, there was a little hold up. I had to write it out in song. But I'm not a great musician. I never picked up a guitar. And really, I can't even stand them. Drive them over with my car. But I have still so much to tell you. I wish that I could. you know, I can't just make a song up out of feelings that I lack. I'll pretend that I'm the victim, that you owe me more than I owe you. You did real good, you sure can pick 'em. Sometimes we get what we choose. I'll pretend that I'm the victim, that you owe me more than I owe you. You did real good, you sure can pick 'em. Sometimes we get what we choose. Now I know that I'm not blameless. I got all the burden I can bear. And you know there is no way that I'm shameless, but I can't pretend that I don't care. But can't none of us admit we blew it? Can't none of us be forced to change? This is who I am, I knew it. Pointless, worthless, hopeless, strange. I'm sorry that I can't be near you. Sorry that I can't do more. I'm filled with love that I can't show ya. Don't know what I'm waiting for. I'll pretend that I'm the victim, that you owe me more than I owe you. You did real good, you sure can pick 'em. Sometimes we get what we choose. Pretend that I'm the victim, that you owe me more than I owe you. You did real good, you sure can pick 'em. Sometimes we get what we choose. I'll pretend that I'm the victim, that you owe me more than I owe you. You did real good, you sure can pick 'em.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Wow, what a crowd. Love that energy. Wow. So, good evening, all. I'm Leah Lindsay Chen. Thank you for coming out tonight. I hope you all brought your guns. Everyone else did. So, if it comes down to a shootout, you're out of luck. Better be on your best behavior. So, I don't know where you stand politically, but I'm guessing that if you even acknowledge me as a person, you're probably pretty far left. So, thank you for that. I appreciate it. So, those of you on the right, you probably feel like you're an oppressed minority here now. Sorry about that. I know it's an uncomfortable feeling, and I know you're evaluating what you'll do if a fight breaks out. You have a strategy. Get on a table and swing for the fences. Don't worry. I don't want to single you out, and I'm not planning on inciting any riots. I don't like crowds. Does anyone like crowds? It seems like you must. Otherwise, how would there be crowds? I don't think people like crowds. That's too incomprehensible, but people do like complaining, and crowds are a great thing to complain about. It's a real subtle way to brag about how special you are. I just want to be left alone. Makes you sound like you're too popular. I know I'm interested in you now. Wow. You must be interesting if you don't want to be around people. I'm not accepting any new friends at the moment, but I'll let you know when there's an opening. So how many of you out there have friends? Okay, a few of you need. So when you're with your friends, what is it that you do? You catch each other up, right? Here's what's been going on since the last time I saw you. I'm just guessing, of course. This is what I would do with friends. I ask them how they've been, and they complain a little at me, and then they ask me, and I complain a little back. Sometimes I want to talk about some good news, but that seems so antisocial. I don't want to upstage anyone. I don't want to brag. And a good conversation needs drama, you know? This guy cut me off, and I was a victim. I was the underdog. It was me against the world. You realize this story of adversity is fundamental to having an identity. Your consciousness means more to you than anyone else's, because it has to. It is your consciousness, and all the other ones are not. It's
the only one you have. But this narrative, this fundamental part of being alive, is also the same stories that mass shooters tell themselves. All these people have it coming. There's more of them than there are of me, and they all hate me. Ever since I started shooting them, they only hate me more. A lot of people like to blame mental illness for these acts of senseless violence. It's even in the phrase, senseless violence. But I would like to posit that maybe it's exactly the opposite. To be alive, to tell the story of importance, that you are important, and whatever happens to a mind to make it think shooting up a school or a church or a mall is a good idea, is living up to the standards of the ideals around them. They might be the most sane, these people, the most standard. They're certainly not special.
Now, son, it's a tough world out there. If you want to survive, you've got to be a little bit tougher than all the others. You've got to be willing to take risks. You need to be confident in yourself and whatever anyone says. Always know that I love you no matter what. Don't let anyone stand in your way. Please don't think I'm trying to justify mass shootings. That is not my agenda here. Please don't hurt me. I want nothing to do with guns. All I'm saying is that you can't really blame teenagers for feeling like underdogs. That's what it is to be a teenager, for you feel powerless and desperate to do something about your situation. You feel that way too now, and you're not even a teenager anymore. You're a grown-up, and you still feel powerless. You've developed enough of a sense of yourself and the people around you that you wouldn't open fire on strangers, at least, most of you, but that spark, that dark, wounded place, you know it. You've been there. You've been in a place where you don't care about the consequences. You just want to have an effect on the world around you. I'm not going to shoot anyone. Please, that's not... I'm not a danger to myself or others. That's what I'm saying. I'm mentally ill. I don't follow the same logic as society at large. My story is a little bit different. I don't want to assert myself. I don't want to be seen. I want to stay hidden. But also, I want to make something that has an effect on people. I want to produce something really powerful. You should not be afraid of me shooting anyone. I could probably make a bomb, but that's so passé. So 1995, please. I'm not a hack. So, these teenagers, these homicidal youth, I'm not saying they're the real victims. No, their victims are the people who got shot. That's pretty clear. What I am saying is they're doing exactly what you're telling them to do. It's not the influence of video games and Batman who doesn't kill bad example. But it doesn't matter. You tell them they need to be strong. You give them access to guns. They do what strong people do. They pretend that they're the victim of a worldwide conspiracy against them. It's what sane people do. If they can make it past 22, they might own Coca-Cola someday. They will corner the market. Or if you prefer, you could stop making all your conversation by complaining. You could act out a different story. And also, you could get rid of all the guns. That would help too. Okay, I'm done. Good night, everyone. Good night. I love you. I want you to feel loved. Please direct your aggression somewhere else. Please. Thank you. Okay, great. Mwah, you're beautiful. Okay, thank you. Good night.
Tales of Insecurity is copyright 2018 Leah Lindsay Chen and her Latchkey Studios, which really doesn't exist. I really just say that so that it's not just me, so I have some kind of limited liability. Which is like my initials or something, LLC. Yeah, I get it. That's pretty clever. What am I doing? Yes, thank you for listening. Please leave a review on one of the sites so that other people can find me, because what am I doing? Like, what am I doing here? I need visibility, right? That's the whole... Okay, bye.